Good morning. Again, it's great to see all you guys here this morning. We've had a great time, great group of people gathering, in spring break week. But I know it's just great to be able to get out and go and do some things we haven't been able to do. And that's really what this message is about. The whole series is about just understanding a lot of things that we have been through in preparing us to be able to celebrate our Easter season. And to say that the last 12 months have been a long and winding road would be an understatement. Would you agree with that? I mean, it's really been something. And so what I want to do this morning, I want to talk about the insights with regards to how our Father in heaven, how does God work in the lives of his people, even when you and I may not realize he's working, that God is in fact doing something. And that's why we looked and we started with our base is Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. And it's all about the reality that God thinks really high of faith. In fact, as has been said, without faith, it is not hard. It's what? Impossible to please God. So if I want to please my Father in heaven, I have to walk by faith. If I can see it, understand it, a lot of times that's not faith. And so faith is trusting him. And here's something I want you to write down somewhere in your notes this morning. If you haven't got your life point outline, it'll be in the chair in front of you. And that is this: faith grows stronger through testing. And we're talking about what in the world has been happening. What does God want to teach us through the last 12 months that we have been through? The Phillips translation of God's word is interesting with regards to James chapter 1. And it just really opens up something for us. Let me just read James 1 verse 2 and 3 from the Phillips translation. When all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, listen to what he said, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. Realize that trials and temptations come to test your faith, listen, and to produce in you, John, the quality of endurance. And so you could just kind of write on your life point outline somewhere that God is real high on the character quality of endurance. My Father and your Father in heaven wants us to learn how to endure. That's important. We understand endurance if we're going to run a race. If you're going to win, you have to endure better than others if you're going to win. In the race of life, you and I are not racing against anybody else. We're just racing against ourselves. And God simply says, my goal is for you to reach the end of the race that I've put out in front of you. And so for all of us, the thing that we have in common is that all of us are going through the experience, the drag on our race of COVID and how it has affected all of us. And so we understand God really, during these last 12 months, has been testing our faith above everything else. Jesus said in John 16, 33, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. And that's not just for a few, that's for all of us. So we understand that. And so here's something I want you to write down. I didn't put it in your notes, and that is this. God, and we've heard it said, God will not give us more than we can handle, right? I mean, how many of we heard that? God will give you more than you can handle. But here's the caveat to that, and that is this. You and I can handle more than we think. God won't give us more than we can handle, but we can handle more than what we think. And so the Father is doing something in this. And so let's be honest. I think there are times, I know there certainly were for me, when I wanted to wimp out, and maybe that's the way it is with you. Maybe during these last 12 months, there were times you just wanted to wimp out and you say, God, I just can't, you know, I can't do this. You cry out, Lord, we need deliverance from this. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. So Jeremiah, God is talking. If you're worn out in this foot race with men, what makes you think you can race against horses? And if you can't keep your wits during times of calm, what's going to happen when troubles break loose like the Jordan in flood? And so God is simply saying, if you can't trust me now, what are you going to do when there may be a more difficult trial that will be ahead. We have no idea what the life will bring. And so what God is saying is, what you're doing right now, what you're going through right now, I am strengthening you for life. And the only way to please me is to live a life of faith. I want you to trust me. And you can handle more than what you think if you walk with me. And so here's the point that God wants us to understand. God says, I want you to spend time with people who have faith. That's who you and I should spend so much time with, that we be with people who want to have faith. They want to live a life of faith. And number two, they want to trust God. That's what they want. And they're going to try hard to obey Him. Those are the people that you ought to be around. And that's really the basis of what we're doing as a church. We are changing our focus from discipleship from a lectern here to discipleship that's one-on-one or one-on-three or one-on-four, where it is more together, small group together discipleship. Because why? Because that's what God is wanting. God says, I want you to spend more one-on-one time with somebody who's got faith, somebody who's maybe a little bit further down the road. You know, I shared with you before, there's always somebody who is behind you. There's always somebody who's not where you are. And so God says, I want them to be with somebody who yearns to have faith. And that's what God is wanting many of you who've traveled with Him for so long. God says, you can teach somebody else to yearn to have more faith, to want to live a life of faith, that we want to trust God above everything else. We want to try hard to obey Him. That's who God wants you to hang with. And that's what we're talking about. Discipleship, one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three, one-on-four. And that's how God wants us to live our life. Now, all that said, why are we doing that? Because we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And if I could get this across to you guys, this would absolutely, I think, change the trajectory of your life. And that is that in your walk and relationship with God, God wants you to be a world changer. That doesn't mean you're going to be living life from Washington, D.C. or from Austin or whatever. What it means is that the goal and the purpose of your life is to do and to live out the dream that God has put inside of you. I believe for every child of God that God puts a vision down inside of you. God puts a desire inside of you to do something in this world to impact people with faith, because that's who you and I have become. Here's the insight in your outline. World changers are not focused on themselves, but on God's promises to work through them. That's what you think about. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what's taking place. The purpose of your life, God's given you that vision. He's saying, I want to work through you. I want to speak through you. I want to use you to reach other people for the kingdom. Now, I want you to think about this with regard to Joseph. Joseph had this God-given vision. If you remember, we studied that. When we look back, and Joseph's story starts in Genesis 37 and goes all the way to chapter 50. And so there is this incredible amount of acreage that God gives him in the Bible. He's got all this space in the Bible. And so what that means is there is a huge lesson that God is wanting to teach us through Joseph. And what he did is he gave Joseph a couple of dreams, and those dreams, those visions inside, this is what God wants to do in my life. God's got a purpose and a plan for me. And God has a calling on every one of us. Every one of us, listen, every one of you are born again for one reason, and that is God sought you out. Did not our Lord say, no man comes to me. Listen, no man comes to me except the Father, what? Draw him. Jesus said, nobody gets it on their own mind. I want to go and chase after God. You are chasing after God because God first came after you. What does that mean? It means God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan. What you do at work may be part of it, but what you do at work is how you feed your family. how you feed yourself, but that's not necessarily God's vision for you. A lot of times it includes that. But God wants you to live out your vision in what you are doing. And Joseph had this God-given vision. The Lord's going to use me. I've got a purpose and a plan for my life. And it was that vision that carried him, not through a year and a half or 2 years of something like a COVID experience, like what you and I are going through. It carried him between 13 and 20 years of on-your-face, gut-wrenching setbacks in his life. And the guy kept going. Look at the insight in your outline. Joseph rose up time and again from gut-wrenching setbacks for three reasons: integrity, attitude, and fortitude. This is what God showed me from the Word that I want to give to you this morning. And I hope you will leave here today. There's going to be a nugget of truth that's just going to hang in you. It's going to stick to you, and it's going to change the trajectory of your life. And the first thing, number one in your life point outline, is integrity blesses and opens doors of opportunity. If there's one thing that I would want my staff to know, it is that integrity blesses and opens doors of opportunity. If you want to go far in the kingdom of God, you cannot do it apart from integrity. You cannot do it in business apart from integrity. I told you last week, Joseph's life takes up a lot of acreage in the book of Genesis. And whenever God gives that much time and space in Holy Scripture to one guy, what God is saying is, there are a lot of things that I want you to learn from him. Now, when you think about Joseph's life, you remember his brothers had grown to hate him because he came from really a family that had a lot of setbacks, if you will. A family that was sick. The dad showed favoritism to Joseph over his brothers. And of course, all that did was create jealousy. So he made Joseph his favorite, and it was obvious to everybody. And so when they were far away from their dad, the Bible says that the brothers sold Joseph into slavery to these Ishmaelite traders. And they took him down to Egypt, and Joseph was bought on the slave market by a guy named Potiphar, who happened to be captain of the guard for Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, this is like the number two guy in the kingdom. Genesis 39, listen, verse 1. The Lord, so Potiphar buys him. Joseph comes to his house. The Lord was with Joseph. Why? Because God had brought him to himself. Joseph said, God, I want to do what you want me to do in my life. Joseph wanted to follow the Lord. And so the Lord was with Joseph, and he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. If there's anything that ought to happen where you are working, it ought to be that people recognize there's something different. There's a blessing that is on them. There's something is going on with this guy. That's one of the things they ought to be able to see with us, because God's hand is with us. It said, this pleased Potiphar, so he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. And from the day Joseph was put in charge of his master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. And all his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Do you pray that? You ought to. Do you pray that for wherever you work? Do you pray that they would see that their business is blessed because of you? You should. Do you think I don't pray that here? For the last 48 years that I have not prayed, Lord, that you will bless the labor of my hands, you will bless the preaching of the word, that this church will know that your hand is with me. I don't want you thinking, God in heaven, when are you going to move him? That's the last thing I want going through your mind. You know, I don't want you thinking, can we not get somebody else? We're dying in piles here. You know, he's killing us with these sermons. They're boring like crazy. You know, the thing that keeps stirring me is I I keep praying for that anointing of God to be on that, and that you will sense that. And that is the very thing that Joseph yearned for. And Potiphar noticed that. He said, everything in my household is running smoothly. My crops and my livestock flourish. And so Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. And with Joseph there, Potiphar didn't worry about a thing except what kind of food to eat. Wow. That's the way to be a good hired hand. So Joseph is sold into slavery. He ends up down in Egypt, the most powerful political force on the planet. Egypt ruled the world at that time. Joseph was sold then to Potiphar, who was captain of the guard for Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the absolute ruler of the known world at that time. And then Joseph, under in Potiphar's house, begins to rise up through the ranks of all the slaves that he had. And eventually he becomes head over everything that Potiphar owned. That's the story. And that's the guy who's got a vision that God's got a purpose and a plan for his life. Do you not see how important it is for you to know God has a purpose and a plan for me? And it feeds in to everything that God is doing in my life and everything that I do in life. Look in your notes. Here's an observation. God was with Joseph, but the question is why? Why did God honor Joseph? What did Potiphar see in Joseph that had him put Joseph over everything he owned? All right, I want to give you an insight. I want to read Genesis 39, verse 4 and verse 6, and this is in your notes. Potiphar soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household and everything he owned. Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. Now listen, here it is. With Joseph there, Potiphar didn't worry about a thing. Potiphar trusted Joseph. He found Joseph to be a man of integrity. And that's what I want you to leave here this morning. The value of integrity. And look at the definition in your outline. This is the most often repeated definition of integrity. I'm going to change it a little bit, but I'm going to give you the most often. Integrity is who you are when no one's looking. It's who you are when you're out of town. It's who you are when you're out of sight of home. It's who you are when no one will know. It's who you are. That's what is said. Reality is, integrity is the expectation this last year, and this is not an accusation, this is just a statement, that when so many were working at home, you remember that? When so many of us were at home, you know, our offices were closed or whatever here, and many of you experienced that, you work from home. If the expectation was that at home you put in a 40-hour week working, then if you were a man or a woman of integrity, it meant you didn't put in 30, you put in 40. Because that's what was expected of you. That's integrity. That is when you can be trusted to do what you're supposed to do, even if nobody's watching. They can turn their back on you. They can leave their wallet in your possession. And when they come back, everything will be in it that was in it to begin with, right? That's integrity. So here's a question. How do you cultivate integrity? If you're asking yourself, how do I do that? Well, here's the answer. There's never a time when no one's looking. There's always someone looking. That's the message of Holy Scripture. God is always watching, right? That's what Scripture says. The Lord's always looking. Do you remember when Joseph was propositioned by Potiphar's wife? Not once, but we know of twice, and probably a lot more times he was propositioned. There were two things that came immediately to Joseph's mind. Number one was, he said, how can I do this to my master? He has made me ruler over everything here. He has given me power over everything except one thing, you. And he said, how can I do this to your husband and my master? And then he said, number two, how could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. And so Joseph was saying, I can't do this because of my master. He's put me in charge of everything. He trusts me. The only thing he has said, I can't touch, is you. I can't do that. And God knows. God is watching. So the truth in your outline, authentic integrity has a heavenly sense of accountability. The reality that you and I are never alone. That is the reason why, gentlemen, when we're on a business trip, or lady, you're on a business trip, your husband, your wife ought to be able to trust you implicitly, right? Because one of the things you've gotten across is that you are a man or woman of integrity. And it doesn't matter if they're present or not. For you, God is present. And that's the biggie. God's watching you. And so the truth in your outline, you and I are living our lives in full view of a holy God. Now, remember I said at the beginning that integrity opens the doors of opportunity in our life. Well, let me give you an open door that happened to Joseph, right? So Joseph is accused by Potiphar's wife of sexually assaulting her, right? Potiphar is captain of the guard for Pharaoh. What does that mean? It means he is the chief executioner. Whatever he says goes. He has the power of life and death in the kingdom next to Pharaoh. What happened when Potiphar was told by his wife, Joseph assaulted me when no one was around, the one that you put in charge? And so what does Potiphar do? Chief executioner is going to put Joseph in prison? I don't think so. I totally agree. Theologian J.E. White said, beloved, that doesn't pass the smell test. Something's up here. You see, the reality is, being chief executioner, being the big man, he didn't get to that position being a wimp. That meant you had every reason to fear this guy. This guy had the power of life and death. And you're telling me that a nobody slave assaults the wife of one of the most powerful men in the kingdom of Egypt, and he puts him in prison? No, 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 no. No self-respecting guy. I mean, you're talking about, dude, your history. You touch my wife? Are you kidding me? I'm not putting you in jail. I'm not going to worry about you anymore. You are dead. And it just simply said, this doesn't make sense. And putting him in the king's prison, the king's prison was historically for soft crimes. This is a white-collar crime place. And guys did not go here for a long term. These were short-term incarcerations. So what's the deal? And you can write this down somewhere. Potiphar knew Joseph wasn't guilty, which means what? Potiphar knew his wife wasn't innocent. There's a lot of water under the bridge here. What was it that made Potiphar know Joseph wasn't guilty? His integrity. He had seen this man, how he lived his life. And because of his integrity, Joseph lived. And the insight in your outline, integrity, the Bible says, brings long-term returns that bless our lives to the end of our earthly race. And so how you live now can bring rewards years down the road. That you are a man or a woman of integrity, it'll open up doors of opportunity for you. And the second thing, let me move a little quickly. Attitude determines distance in life. It determines distance. Job said it well. He said, a man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We know what it means to have days of trouble. We understand that. But for the last year, we not only had days, we had weeks and months. We've had weeks and months of masks, right? And quarantine and sickness and death of loved ones and friends. So what I've done, I've got a series of questions that I want to ask you guys, right? And I'm not asking for a verbal response. Please don't start answering me verbally. I just want you to write this stuff down and I want you to think about it. All right, I want you to think about it. And it's all about our attitude. What's your attitude been? Because I asked myself, what's my attitude been the last 12 months? So here they are. All right, here are the questions. These are in your notes. Number one, child of God, have you been a Joseph? Have you been like Joseph? That you're trusting God in all of this, that God's got you, He's got your back, and you're trusting Him? Or number two, have you been on the whole difficult to be around because of the way life has been? Number three, have you been snarky? That's a word, I think. Have you been snarky about masks? Huh? Or have you been an encourager, realizing that these days have been really hard on a lot of people? We're all under stress. Have you been snarky or an encourager in these difficult times? Next, have you been short with people? Have you been short with your family? It's not like you're the only one going through a difficult time. It's not like you're the only one whose life is getting crimped. We've all felt that. And has your family suffered from you because of that? Because you're just, honestly, you've just been difficult to be around. Have you been, next, have you been argumentative and sharing several pieces of your mind rather than being humble and quiet, realizing God is using these days to humble all of us? And you realize everybody's going through a hard time. And so you strive, you know, you don't have a calling to get up in people's grill to tell them where they're wrong and everything. Have you been argumentative? Next, have you been a whiner? You've turned inward and focused on you and forgot others and forgotten the ministry God's called you to have in our city. Or lastly, have you trusted God that these days served His purpose for your life and you were determined to find out what He wanted? That's how God would have us look at this. Joseph was sold into slavery and he was forced into servitude not once but twice. Once to Potiphar and then to the jailer, right? And so the insight in your outline, instead of slavery bringing him down, Joseph used it to rise up. That's why he advanced in Potiphar's house. And instead of prison bringing him down, Joseph used it to rise up. That's why he advanced and was eventually over the entire prison. It was about his attitude. And the question is, what has been our attitude the last 12 months and even today in this COVID prison? Why? Because I want to move forward in my life. I want God to be able to bless me. I want God to be able to bless this church. And as senior pastor, it's important for me to have the right attitude. It is important in the job that you're in, you've got the right attitude if you want God to be able to advance you. So here's some questions to answer. These last 12 months, have you wrung your hands with worry? Not how we should have lived a life as a child of God who's trusting Him. Number two, have you clenched your fists maybe in resentment and anger? I shouldn't be going through this. How did I deserve this? Why is this happening? Why does God keep this, all this go on? Number three, have you thrown your hands up in the air in helplessness? I can't do this. I can't go on anymore. Number four, lastly, have you buried your face in your hands in despair? You're so overwhelmed. It's not the life of a Joseph. It's not how I live life. And so the insight, God would have had you the last 12 months open your hands up before Him, invoking His blessing because you have His vision for your life surging in your soul. And see, that's what I'm talking about. Joseph had that vision of what God wanted to do in his life. And God will put in your life, that He'll put a vision. This is what I want to do through you. I want to use you for the kingdom's sake. Your job is not just where you make money. It is also where you make a life. One of the main places you ought to see that God would use you is where you spend the majority of your time. How you earn a living. God would use you there. And He's planted you there. Which brings us to the last point. And that is, as a world changer, it is vision that fortifies your life. It fortifies you. In other words, it enables you to keep going. Joseph's life is guided by this vision that God's got a purpose and a plan for his life. It's what kept him going. It advanced him in Potiphar's house. It advanced him in the prison. The warden trusts him. Joseph is in charge of the day-to-day operations. And the Bible says that the Pharaoh had two guys who were the closest to him. Very close. They were the cupbearer and the baker. Why? Because those guys were there to protect him. He had to really trust the baker because he baked all the Pharaoh's food. And then he had the cupbearer, which meant this was a guy that always tasted the wine. And if he didn't die from it being poisoned by the Pharaoh's enemy, then the Pharaoh knew he could drink it. So he was really close to these guys, and something happened, and both of them get incarcerated. And we're not really told why. And both of them have dreams, and they are troublesome dreams. And so look in your outline, just one more reminder, insight. Remember, integrity brings heaven's advancement and reward. That is just key. Whatever's happening, when you're a person of integrity, God is going to promote you. God is going to work to advance your life. And so Joseph is blessed by God. God gives him the ability to interpret dreams, right? And so he reveals to the cupbearer and to the baker their dreams. The cupbearer has a good dream. He's going to be released. The baker, not so good. He's going to be impaled and he's going to die. And it happens just like Joseph said. And as the cupbearer is getting ready to leave, Joseph says this, "Please remember me to the king so that he might let me out of this place. I was kidnapped from my homeland and I am here in prison, but I did nothing to deserve it." When you're going through a difficult time, it doesn't mean you don't say, "Is there some way for me to move to something better?" But you trust God in the midst of that. And that's what Joseph did. And how do I know that Joseph was trusting God? Genesis 40, 23. Pharaoh's cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. It would be 2 years would pass before Pharaoh has a dream. Nobody can interpret it. And finally, the dumb one, cupbearer, he remembers Joseph. And he's like, "Ah, there is a guy in prison who I was supposed to get out 2 years ago, but I didn't. I forgot all about him. He's in prison and he has the gift of interpretation of dreams." Pharaoh said, "I want to see him." And so Genesis 41, 14, Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. He was quickly brought from the prison. After he shaved and changed his clothes, he went in and stood before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream last night and no one here can tell me what it means. But I have heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it." Now listen to what came out of Joseph's mouth. This is after he's been in prison 2 years longer than he should have been if the cupbearer had remembered him. He's gone through hard times. He has been falsely accused in the house of Potiphar. He winds up in jail. He serves both these guys, Potiphar and the chief jailer, as best he can. He helps the cupbearer understand what's going to happen in his life. And it happens just as Joseph said. All he asked for was, "Remember me before Pharaoh that I can get released from here." He gets forgotten for 2 whole years, which would make you and I most likely, one of the things we'd have to fight is what? Bitterness. "Are you kidding me? I have sought to serve God with all my heart and I have got nothing but knocked down time and time again. And here I am, I helped this guy, just help me out. God, where are you?" How many of us have not said that? "Lord, where are you?" Could Joseph have said that? Of course he could. "All I ask is for some justice here." Could he have gotten mad and stomped off? He certainly could. Have you and I done that? Maybe we have. But the point of the story is Joseph didn't. How do I know? Because it comes back and it says, Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, "It is beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. Tell me your dream." What does that mean? It means I'm in a relationship with the Father. God knows me and I am in a relationship with Him and He's given me the power of interpreting dreams and I have a walk with Him. What's your dream? It wasn't that Joseph said, "Well, used to, I could, but I don't have that anymore. Because see, I quit. And God doesn't speak to me anymore." But the insight you outline, Joseph was walking as intimately and dependently with God with as much faith and trust as he had 2 years earlier. It never changed his walk with the Father. He kept on walking with God. And the truth in your outline, a positive attitude leads to a powerful fortitude. In other words, I am able to endure when I keep my faith and I keep my vision. about God's plan for me. And what is fortitude? The definition in your outline, you see it there? Fortitude is the strength to bear misfortune and pain calmly and patiently. So let me just land the plane. Here's the invitation. Joseph knew he would get out of prison. He just didn't know when. One of the things that we believe in our heart is that we will ultimately get through and past COVID. We believe that, right? We believe that. But the deal is, we don't know when. And I'm not speaking against the vaccine, so I want to just say that. All right, so just listen carefully to what I'm saying. Don't go out of here saying I'm saying something I didn't say. If we set our hope on a vaccine, I think that's misplaced as our hope. Is it wrong? Certainly not. I'm grateful for that, but that's not my hope. If we yearn for a date when all of this will be over, we're yearning for the wrong thing. Why? Because as for a child of God, I need to be saying, Father, what have you been wanting to say to me through this? What have you been wanting to say? We already know they no sooner come out, men are no sooner able to make a vaccine than the disease starts changing. And now we've got to come up with something else to take care of that. And that can keep going. It could. We pray it doesn't. But the point is not that we are to look rather for God's purpose in this. Father, what is your purpose for us, the church? And God says, I want you to learn how to endure. For you and me, it's not about it being over. Although I would want that. It is rather that I learn how to say, Father, if this is what you have for right now, then I just want to know, what do you want me to learn? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to serve you? So let me close with this. Admiral Jim Stockdale was the highest ranking U.S. military officer in the Hanoi Hilton prisoner of war camp during the Vietnam War back in the 60s. He was tortured over 20 times in the 8 years of his horrible imprisonment. He never had a set release date, so in other words, he never had hope, or even certainty that he would survive to ever see his family again. That went on for 8 years. When asked, how did you survive that? I want you to listen to what he said. He said, I never lost faith in the end of the story. What's he saying? He's saying, I know God's got a plan for my life. He said, I never lost faith in God's story for me. He said, I never doubted that I would get out and that this present life, this eight-year event would be a defining event that in the end I would never trade. Did I enjoy it? No. Was it hard as I was ever experienced in my life? Would I trade it? Never. It absolutely changed my life. And beloved, that's what this is about for the church. That's what it's about. That this will change you and I forever. And this is what he said in closing. He said, remember this, never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be. He said, you walk in faith, but you realize God's goal is that you must live a disciplined life, that as long as God has this for me, this is God's plan, and I will serve Him in these days and realize God's doing something. And so the last thing in your notes, here's the challenge. Never lose hope in the end of the story. God's got a plan. God's got a story for every one of us, and He's got a plan. Let's stand together, would you please? That you would say to Him this morning, Father, I want to serve your purpose. I want to live your life in these COVID days. Think about others. Think about giving. Think about serving others. That's what the Lord is about in these days for you and I. This gets our hearts ready to celebrate Easter and God's plan in our life. So, Father, Thank you this morning for the ministry of your word. God, thank you for what we learned about Joseph, this guy that never folded. He never backed down. And it's because he had a vision. He had a vision of a perceived future that was God-given. It was from you. And it didn't depend on anything here. It was from you. And so regardless of what happened in his life, all he could hear was that I've got a plan for you. Follow me and I will bless you and I will be with you. So Father, may that be ringing true in all of our hearts this morning as your children, as we leave this place through faith in Jesus Christ, committing our life to him, you will work everything to our good. And even COVID-19 serves a purpose, the purpose of endurance. It is a character quality in our lives that is highly prized by you. And we thank you now, Father. Receive our offering and receive our love. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.